Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society.
I have a ghost story for you. So this one happened, about 10, 15 years ago. We used to live in a house that was about 100 years old. And from the beginning, a lot of odd things happened, and we realized very quickly we weren't the only ones living in the house. There were definitely ghosts. This part of the story happened with our dining room table. Every time you walk past the dining room, out of the corner of your eye, you could see a child sitting at the table. Well, when you turn around and go back, there'd be nobody there. Now, the funny thing was, the child that I would see each time looked strikingly like my daughter. She had pigtails, she wore a striped shirt, and she'd just sit there coloring away. Well, one day, a friend of mine came over to my house, and instead of greeting her at the door, I waited in my living room and let her walk through the house. She was a close friend, so it was normal. As she walked into the living room, she had a very strange look on her face, and she said to me, "I thought you said your kids were in bed." And I said, "They are." She said, "No, that's, wait a minute." So she went back and looked at the table and came back into the living room looking at me quite shocked, a little bit pale, and said, "There was nobody there, was there?" And I said, "No, there wasn't. That's because it was a ghost that you saw." And she just looked at me just in disbelief, couldn't believe it. And I told her that we'd all seen it at one time or another walking through. It's always out of the corner of your eye. And when you turn back, there's nobody there. The funny thing is, when we moved the table later, the apparition never happened again. It was only in that room. This same house, when we first moved in, my twins were 2.5 years old and my oldest was just 5. After the first night, they started to come to us crying, saying they were very scared because the people in their bedroom were keeping them up at night and they were very, very frightened. We got them to describe the people and they explained that they were in rather dated clothing, and but they kept coming into the room at night and it made them feel very frightened. So we knew that we had a ghost problem in the house. So we consulted someone who gave us the advice to tell our children that we're going to ask the ghosts if they could not go in their bedroom, if they could go downstairs and acknowledge that it's their home. So that's exactly what we did with the kids. We went into the room and we had told the ghosts that they're scaring the children, and we asked them kindly to please go downstairs and not to stay upstairs at night because the kids were scared. And sure enough, it worked. The kids didn't talk about ghosts being in the rooms anymore, and they weren't scared of the ghosts, and we kind of learned to cohabitate over time. Now, mind you, I've never had a problem with any ghosts in any other place I've lived before or after this house, just this house, this experience. We went on a family vacation, and a friend of mine was coming to feed our cats while we were gone and take care of the house. This is when she first experienced the shoe pile. One of the ghosts liked to separate our shoes into two separate piles. Each shoe would go to be by itself, so its mate would be in the other pile. At first, I thought this was my kids. My kids were of that age where that wouldn't be unusual to do. But when I was gone, my friend was able to confirm that indeed, the phenomenon continued when nobody was home. She would go in to check on the house. At first, she thought I left it that way. but I didn't. So then she rearranged the shoes, put them in a straight row. She came back the next day, and sure enough, they were separated into two separate piles once again, each pile having only one shoe out of the pair, one pile in my living room, one pile sitting by my door. And every day she rearranged them, every day she'd come back, it was the same way. Nobody had a key to our house. Nobody was staying there. Sometimes when she would come into the yard, she could swear she saw somebody looking at her in the window at a glance. But then when she looked back properly, there was nobody there. She had went through the house from top to bottom to ensure she really was the only one with the cats in the house. And indeed she was. Things like this weren't unusual for this house. It was over 100 years old. It had once been a boarding house. Since that time, this house now has been torn down for development, so it's no longer in the town. But during the time that we lived there, we always had experiences with these ghosts. Nobody was ever menaced, so to speak. We just learned to cohabitate. We figured they were there first. So that's my my ghostly house. And since then, I live ghost-free in any other house I've been in. Hello, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we started 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Sitting around Zoom, talking about our lives as modern pagans. And here we are, the first episode of season 4 already.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
I'm Margo.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So tonight, we're going to talk about the veil, being that this episode comes out just before Samhain. But I think we'll start off with just a bit of like a reflection of what we're doing, entering into season 4. How do we feel things are going? What are we liking? What are we not liking? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys think of what we've accomplished so far? Because this started off as like a COVID project. Yeah. We just all had COVID again.
Anniversary season, you know?
I'm out of bed. I'm up and moving. It's awesome.
That's a plus. Early on, one of the comments was that our sound quality was meh. I think we've improved. I think I figured it out. We're still recording in living rooms, but we do have 4 dedicated microphones.
Yeah.
So that's nice. We are number 33 on Good Pod's top 100 lifestyle podcast.
No, we're 20. Lifestyle. It's either 26 or 29.
Oh, has it changed?
No, it always was that. Okay. No, you're confused. No, we are. Good. And we are the only pagan show in the whole top 100.
That is correct.
We are.
And yeah, lifestyle is strange because then it's not religion and spirituality. No. I thought it was a weird movement for us, but okay.
Yeah. And we're also number 6 in top pagan podcasts on Feedspot. None of this means anything, but it's a nice little pat in the back, of course.
Yeah.
I find it's the just whole fake thing internet points. I just find this absolutely shocking. Yeah. I find it all shocking.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I'm just so grateful to be included, and I've enjoyed every minute.
And our equipment allows us to sort of travel around and move about. So we've been able to record at festivals, which we will continue to do, of course. And hopefully we'll get to go do some more interviewee type stuff in the future. So yeah, if you ever have an opportunity to like, give stars, leave a review, whatever. That always helps us because it sort of means that we know what we're talking about a little. So when we invite guests on, they're like, oh, those guys know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. But it gives them the impression that we know what we're doing. And that's what matters. Fake it till you make it.
I'm so good at bullshit.
Great. That's one of the best skills I learned in art school.
Oh, yes.
Is how to bullshit.
Yeah.
You have to defend your work. You would be amazed at some of the stuff that comes out of your mouth.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever received was from Dave Thompson at NSCC Photography, because I had just gone to NSCC to look at the photo program there. And then I went to go speak to Dave at NSCC about the photo program there. It was significantly cheaper. And Dave said, look, NSCC, they're going to teach you to put a banana on a garbage can and call it art. If you come here, I'll teach you to put a banana on a garbage can, call it art, and then sell it. It's like, that's what I need. I need to be able to sell my bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And well, you know,
I still don't do any of that. Nonetheless.
Well, you know, I said to someone today, I think it's Essence is having on the November 1st, they're having their online Samhain ritual. And I was just helping a friend out with that. And I don't know. because I've done a lot of reds, but I said, you know what, to her, I said, do you know what? I'm an Aquarian. Do you know what the other side of the Aquarian coin is? Because everyone has, every sign has two sides of the same coin. Leo. Doesn't that just explain everything?
Yes. Yeah, Margot and I are like, and?
Yeah. What? So when you're talking about bullshit, and it's like, man, let's just turn it on and I'm going.
Yeah.
It's like a fish to water. It's terrible.
So on that note, actually, we have so much going on in the next little bit. Of course, none of this applies to most of you listeners because you don't live in our neighborhood. We've got the Witch's Market coming up on Saturday. We have the Witch's Ball coming up on Saturday. This episode, of course, will come out after all these things, but it's fun to brag about them nonetheless.
Yes, Witch's Ball sold out.
Yeah, sold out right something quick.
Oh, I didn't even... when all the tickets went on sale, I was just sick and didn't think about it. Oh, you know, maybe...
Do you have a ticket?
No!
Do you want to go? I have an extra ticket.
I don't know if it's this Saturday, if I will feel well enough. I've only been out of bed for
three days. Saturday, I have an extra ticket.
I might, because I'm only out of bed 3 days. I don't know.
And then we have the public Samhain ritual in the Commons. Was that year number 27?
At least. It's a long time. Who's doing that?
So Essence is doing it.
Okay.
I don't know who is actually performing the ritual, but basically the role is Pans pays for the event, Essence does it, and then we all pat each other on the back. It's great.
It's great. It's support community.
It is. I'd love to be able to do it, but HowlCon is that weekend, and it's just too much going on in October for me.
Yeah. And shout out to Donnie Adams, who did it forever and ever and ever, back when the cops used to have to come because people were freaking out because there was witches on the commons pushing 30 years ago. He's been doing it. He did it forever and ever.
I think it measured that he did it 25 years in a row.
Yeah.
He did a lot.
I'll give him that. Yeah. Like right on to him. He did so much.
So how is everyone else feeling? Maeve, of course, is sitting up. So she's live.
I'm sitting up. I'm grateful to be here. And I just love doing this podcast business. I enjoy it very much. And I'm so grateful to be included.
Gwen's always afraid. She always tells me, like, I'm afraid I talk too much. But yet she doesn't talk enough. How are you feeling, Gwen? What are you feeling going into season 4?
Yeah, feeling grateful for this happy coincidence that everything kind of came together for us at a time when four really busy people that are really invested in different areas in the community and everything said, yeah, we should do this. And it's been a lot of fun and I've learned stuff. Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, I just think the camaraderie is amazing.
Yeah.
That we're all so able to support each other for the podcast, but other aspects of our lives as well.
Yeah.
And now Brian's even moved into the neighborhood.
Yes.
No getting away.
Living on the Sam, you're living on the loop now.
No, hold on. I live in Spryfield Plus.
You'd be shocked that people in Herring Cove all of a sudden think that it's a whole different world once you hit Spryfield. No,
every single person we've talked to is like, we don't live in Spryfield.
No. You live now in the Herring Cove loop.
Yeah.
Not the whole Sambro loop. But you live in the Herring Cove loop, which includes Spryfield, Herring Cove.
They're all super nice, but there's definitely a bit of a snobbery.
There's been a lot.
We don't see it with those people down the road. We all take Purcell's Cove Road in. So we don't have to drive by the plebs.
I take great pride now and have for the last 13 years living in Spryfield. And I still remember one of your kids when they were away on Kutimovec.
Yes.
And someone...
half a country away.
Yeah. Someone asked him where he lived. And when he said he lived in Spryfield, everybody just kind of went quiet and backed away.
Well, I have the best quick little story about that. So my kid, when she went to junior high, she went out to right across, just up the road from where Brian is, to Herring Cove Junior High, because she went to late enrollment French immersion. And when she got there, she's in like grade 7, and she was the only one from her school that year that went. So off she goes. And of course, there was girls up in grade 8 kind of deal. They were looking at who's that, and they were going to be kind of pushy because she was this new kid. And... my kid. And she was not afraid. She rolled up to them and she said, I'm a central kid. You really want to mess with a girl from Spryfield? And they backed off and never came near her.
Which was bullshit. But still, you know what I mean?
And that was the elementary school, Central Spryfield. And she says, I'm a central kid. You really want to mess with a girl from Spryfield? and they backed straight off and never bothered her?
Well, it's funny, since we're moving to the area, we've gone to a farmer's market, we went to a car show, we went to a craft. We didn't do any of that shit in fucking Rockingham.
There's a wonderful urban farm.
Yes, we're going to that this weekend. Yeah. Actually, there's some wonderful Halloween thing going. Oh,
they always have stuff.
Yeah. And come Christmas, they have the tree lighting party at the Wave at the Spry Center.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Spryfield's got all kinds of wonderful little things going on.
Karen is like in all the Facebook groups. She's like, we're going to this, we're going to that. Yeah, but nothing happened in fucking Rockingham. Everyone was just Richie Rich and just sat in their Richie Rich houses with their BMWs and looked at each other, and that was it. Nothing happened.
Yeah, looked down their noses at each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess it's the blue collar land that the funds had.
Well, it's funny, actually, because I think Birdland Rec, which is a Facebook group for the area next to Rockingham,
which is
called Birdland.
I know all
the streets are named after birds.
Everybody
in Rockingham was like, well, that's the poor area of Rockingham. That's like across the railroad.
That's the old.
That's the old version. And it's funny because there's certain areas walk into it. It's like, how the fuck did I get into like a Newfoundland fishing village where houses are on top of each other?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's to them, they always look down on it. But that's where all the stuff was happening.
It's really nutty because Spryfield is like a proper town.
Yeah.
You have a complete slice of society here.
Yes, you do.
From the former premier to your retired Supreme Court judges to one of the best drug areas in town.
Everything, man.
Non-prescription drugs, she's talking. Yeah.
You know, I remember years back them saying, well, you know what? In Spryfield, in this one area of Spryfield, they actually had their doors armored so the cops couldn't pound the doors in. But that's it. You know, there's certain areas for everything. That was when Greystone used to be Carson City.
Right. So that's, it's funny, when I first moved to Halifax and I got involved in the pagan community, everyone said it was Spryfield was the pagan community because all the pagans lived out here.
It's cheap.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And pagans typically don't have a lot of money. Yeah. So, yeah.
Because they spend it on pagan gear.
Yeah, like rocks.
We are
a group of people that pay money for rocks. If you talk to anyone who's successful, they're like, you know what's the first thing I do? Don't buy rocks.
Yeah. And not that we're unsuccessful. We all live perfectly wonderfully.
Oh, yes. But none of us are middle class. We're not rich.
None of us have yachts. I'm perfectly middle class in my middle class neighborhood.
Exactly.
And all of that. But no, Spryfield's a great place.
Yeah.
I love it out here.
So on to tonight's actual topic. The veil. So we're approaching Samhain. As we approach Samhain, the veil thins. So the question is, what is the veil? And why is it thinning? And what does it have to do with us? Do any of you care to explain? This is the dead silence
because it's huge, right? It's a really big question.
It's a big question.
You sound like you want to go.
Well, but you look like you were talking first.
Well, I would say that we use a word like the veil and we all have a personal relationship with it. And coming from a Celtic kind of background for my practice, and I know that the rest of the people here have been, at least even if it's not their vision of the veil, have been in rituals where we've used this metaphor, but like a mist, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a mist. Much.
A fog.
A fog. It gets dense. It can be thinner. You can see through it or you can't see anything. It's three-dimensional. You can feel it. You can not just see it, but you can feel it. But then other people have an idea of like a curtain between us and the other world. And it's something that I think most people think of as a barrier between us and something else. Usually that other world in which the dead reside, as opposed to just all the many other worlds that seem to be out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a curtain. When I've heard of the curtain reference, I often hear it's referred to as like a theater curtain, where it has different layers, like the big thick front curtain, and then a screen, and then back curtain. So there's layers to it. And that's kind of how I've envisioned
it.
Yeah,
that's better for me. Yeah.
Now I see it differently. I see it as, you've obviously seen sort of smoky glass.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like not a physical, but that's not quite a mist, but more like a smoky glass, and it'll clear up and you can walk through or you can see the other side.
Nice.
That's how I see it. More of us. It sounds like a mist, but not, because to me, a mist, I guess we live here on the coast. It's the fog and it can go very deep. To me, it's not deep.
Oh.
It's just it fogs over.
Surface level.
You know, it's like smokes over and then it'll clear.
Mine is three dimensional, I think, because sometimes for me, it's harder to get through. And sometimes it seems to be you just slide it. Right?
Yeah.
And to me, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So everybody sees it a wee bit differently. Now, I did read quite a few years back, and I can't absolutely attest to this. It would be interesting to look up that more deaths take place around October 31st than any other time of year.
Mm.
It would make sense because especially maybe it's more deaths of the elderly or the sick. I mean, because, you know, there's plenty of accidental deaths and things like that. But at that time, the crossover is so easy and is so gentle. There's no fighting to get through. There's no getting lost. It just opens.
And I wonder how much of that might be their loved ones on the other side of the veil.
Can come to them.
Can come
retrieve them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crossover as well, possibly. Mm-hmm.
That could be because a lot of times, and I personally am not afraid of death whatsoever, but many people don't want to die.
Yeah.
I have heard more people say they're frightened to die or frightened of what might happen or whatever, scared to die, than people say, far more people say they're scared of death than people who say they're not.
Oh, of course.
So according to our good old friend Google,
a lot of people die at Christmas too.
So yeah, so actually what I was going to say, the day that actually has the most deaths is oddly enough January 1st, and second is October 31st, and third is Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's a lot of times people, if they're ill, they'll just want to get through that last Christmas with their family.
Yeah.
And then off they go. Yeah.
I guess what kind of what we're saying is there's no right or wrong answer. Everybody views the veil differently.
Mm-hmm. I think the common theme is the afterlife or the other side. And this is
there's some sort of gateway, doorway, barrier between our plane and their plane. And in our belief system is that around Samhain, that doorway, curtain, fog, whatever, thins in such a way that we can communicate between the two realms easier than on your typical Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Marga, how do you view the veil?
I sort of the mist type analogy works for me as well. I haven't done personally a lot of work around the veil. I think because I'm still, you know, 50 years later, pretty raw of the trauma that sent my loved ones across to the veil. But I can't remember if it was last year or the year, maybe it was last year, went to, and I know I'm going to pronounce it wrong, and Yoho's, the taco, Mexican taco place. They did around Halloween, they did like a Dias de la Muertos kind of celebration.
Their Day of the Dead, yeah.
Yeah. And their signature cocktail had marshmallow fluff in it.
Ooh.
Oh.
Which I do not like. But my sister, who was allergic to chocolate, so couldn't have chocolate syrup on her ice cream, always had marshmallow fluff.
Right. Oh.
So I had this lovely cocktail with the marshmallow fluff in it and, you know, was telling the waitress the story. I'm sure she could have cared less, but it was just a really nice remembrance of her and celebrating her, acknowledging her on the other side. Yeah.
That's neat. So what was the alcohol? Well, most of the drinks are with tequila there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
We talk about the veil, like what we view it as, but what are we staunch believers that it becomes thinner on Samhain? Or as Gwen had mentioned before we began recording, the more traditional Samhain of, is it November 7th?
Well, it's an astrological time, so it's different from year to year, but it usually is after October 31st, and it's when Scorpio is 15 degrees of the horizon, I believe, right?
The 6th or 7th of November.
Yes, it is, so it kind of shifts from year to year, but I think of it more like a like we always say, we're saying spooky season because we just enjoy this time of year. But I do think, you know, that even though there's a precise astrological date, possibly if you're following that tradition. It's a time.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a time, and it's not a specific moment.
To me, it's when pumpkin spice lattes come out. That's when it begins to thin. And then when the pumpkin spice lattes go away, it begins to close up.
Oh,
that's what I've missed, that. Have being in bed with COVID for 2 weeks. I was making pumpkin gingerbread. I was making pumpkin cookies. None of these things have happened.
I've had a pumpkin spice latte every day for the last month. I am the queen of basic bitches.
And now that we have a Starbucks.
Yes.
Mind you, Tim Hortons always had a really good pumpkin spice tea.
No, I can't do it.
Well, no, what I do is I make the tea, I put in the milk, and I add some maple syrup.
Karen actually made a really good pumpkin spice, like, latte at home, like a mix, and it's pretty good. It also is not $8 per cup.
I have a bottle of the pumpkin pie syrup. I just heat the milk and it's gross. You're good.
So do we want to touch upon what we believe is on the other side of the veil?
I have on occasion been called out for copping out, maybe, because when I've had this discussion with people in the past, I've always said it is irrelevant what I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely irrelevant, because whatever's there is what's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I will worry about it when I get there, but I'm not spending brain power trying to figure out what that might be. I mean, my brain's busy enough, just, you know.
That's fair.
Making my lungs go in and out.
So at some point, I'll loan you some of my middle-class white man confidence. Because I have a strong belief, yes.
A strong belief, yes. Also, you know, the whole idea of reincarnation. Like, I'm not entirely certain what I feel about reincarnation. Yet, I have past life.
Mm-hmm.
So, memory. So, you know... I'm just a flake, I guess.
You're not a flake. You're just not sure.
I just don't need to make any decisions about that fine. Now.
I'm a strong believer in the concept of, like, the Summerlands. If you ever seen the Pixar movie Soul.
I couldn't watch it. It, like, in the first 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, this is just way too traumatic for me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's 100% like my pagan death belief in 100% way. But make it a little bit more fluffy and more flowers and grass. Soul. It's very good. But the idea is that you, as a person, when you pass on, you pass through the veil, and you go to, like, a waiting room. Don't think, like, Beetlejuice waiting room.
I was just get out of my head.
Not Beetlejuice waiting room, but, like, the Summerland, be it a mead hall, be it a meadow, be it a woods, whatever. And you can choose to either wait for other people to join you in the Summerland, or you can return to the earth or return to the world. It's actually really funny because I saw a joke the other day. It was a comic, and it was about, like, reincarnation. And the guy gets up to, like, the heavenly body is like, oh yeah, there's reincarnation here. Unfortunately, your punishment is you're being reincarnated back on Earth. Yeah. Oh, shit. But anyway, yeah. So when you get to the Summerland, you could choose to either go back and experience more what you need to experience, or you can wait for whoever you're waiting for. So I'm a strong believer in this particular case, an example is my parents. They are waiting for probably not even me and my sister, just for Atticus at some when it's his time, he'll go through and he'll meet his grandparents. They don't care about me and Melissa.
Once you have a baby, we're irrelevant
now. But, like, that's my belief. I believe that our souls, our beings, our consciousness, its job, its goal in existence is to experience as much as possible. And that may be multiple rotations through our world. And what that sort of concept of nirvana is when you've experienced everything that you've been meant to experience. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, the double-edged sword to this is that you're meant to experience everything. So that with the good comes the bad. So you have to go and experience the bad sides of life. You have to go be a bank robber. You have to go be a thief. You have to go be a not good person so that your soul can grow and have these experiences. That's my belief of what's on the other side of the veil.
I think there's several things over there. I think there's, now I'm a big believer of the Summerland, certainly. But I also know that, you know, Dawn's going to be waiting, and we're going to Egypt for a while. We think we're going to go around 2000 BC, 1500, in its heyday. We're going to go visit for a while. I think sometimes people sit right straddling the curtain because maybe they're not ready to move on. That's where you sometimes get your spirits or your ghosts, yeah, from people who something has been left behind and they cannot seem to get all the way over. I think the god and or goddess or creator, whoever it may be, you may meet them and they might say, you didn't do this right. And that was not what you had. That's not what we had planned. So you're going back. I think they take a bit more of a hand in it. Now, there is a theory that caused me to have a horrible, horrible emotional experience the first time I really came across it, like, okay, I'm going to go smother my kid and jump off the bridge. Horrible experience. Was that this life, when you're saying about the curtains, you know, on a stage, that you signed up for everything. If you've been molested or killed or tortured and sold or all the horrible things, that your soul says, yeah, I want to do that. That caused me to have a terrible crisis. I really, and yes, this is me being egotistical, that how dare my soul use my life for, you know, fun kind of idea. So that's a whole another program. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that. That caused me to have a terrible crisis. But no, I think that what you think is going to happen probably will. I got plans, man. I got to go to Egypt. And Monica and I got to go to Lewisburg because we didn't get there. And then we're all gonna have a gigantic one last festival when we all get there, and then we're gonna go along to our next lives or this or that or whatever the case might be. I think there's endless, the possibilities are rather endless once you get there.
Yeah, and the Summerlands will manifest in whatever different way for each person.
Oh, and I also plan to spend 100 years at least in a house with tons of pets, and the house is never going to get dirty and no one's going to shed, and I am not going to have to scoop one litter box or pick up any dog poop of
that
any
is your
kind.
1,000 virgins when you go to heaven. I just want a house with pets and don't have to pick up cat shit.
Really? I want to have all kinds of pets and maybe some farm animals. And let me tell you, I am not picking up one piece of fur. I'm not sweeping nothing. And no one is going to poop or pee. And everything will be immaculate at all times. I'm going to do that for 100 years, too.
Love it.
1,000 virgins. What would you do with that? Oh my God,
the neck. Disappoint 1,000 virgins.
Could you imagine trying to train up 1,000 young men? Jesus. Anyway, sorry.
And what about you, Gwen? What do you think is on the other side?
I like the idea of the Summerland, and I want to go to Maeve's festival, and I might stop by for tea at the cottage. And if I could choose a place and a time to visit, I think I'm going to the library at Alexandria for a while. Years. You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
You'll be there. We'll arrange to be there at the same time.
Dawn and I'll come by for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where they invented shh.
That would be wonderful.
What's her name? Hypatia. You want to meet Hypatia?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I could feel somewhat insignificant in multiple eras. You know? Oh, God, because, you know, you always have to take the most accomplished person in your world and then compare yourself against them and then go, oh, what the crap have I done with my life, right? Yeah. So I'd be comparing myself against Hypatia. But I think, yeah, I like all of those ideas. I believe that even though we are an integrated being while we are here, and you know, people talk about a body mind or body spirit dichotomy sort of thing, I don't believe that. I think we're one thing. You know, you can't pull out. We're physical and spiritual and conscious. But I think upon the point of death, when the body dies, yeah, there is something else. I do believe that energy is transmuted into something that doesn't need a physical body. What that looks like, how that manifests, I don't know.
When I was studying photography in Winnipeg, I wanted to go into either medical photography or, and I got to spend a week at the Health Science Center in their photography department as sort of like job shadowing, job training. And I did actually get, I didn't get to photograph it, but I did get to go watch a couple of autopsies. And when you see a body on the table whose life essence has left, it is a completely different vessel.
Yes.
Yeah.
When the life essence is not there anymore, it's not just somebody lying there with their eyes closed. Like,
no.
There it is.
There's no mistaking that.
No.
That body for being a person.
Yes. Yes. If they're no longer a person. That is very true. It's almost like they are a wax mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are a container, a vessel that is now empty. And it does really, it clearly shows that our soul and our consciousness is who we are.
Mm.
And without that, we are not that mm-hmm. person, that thing. Again, in my wishy-washiness and not sure what I believe, I frequently think about my father looking down on me as well and being proud of what I've accomplished, even if I'm not certain of what I've accomplished, seeing that perhaps my life did not turn out the way that was expected.
Yes.
But I have certainly done things with my life and lived my life in a way to figure out who I really am. And not spent my, well, I did spend a significant amount of my life trying to please other people. And when I realized how unhappy that was making me, really embraced living my life for me and figuring out who I was and how I fit into the world and into my community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do sometimes think about wonder what he thinks and what his thoughts are. And yeah.
And one day you'll get to find out.
I suppose, yes.
Now,
one day I will get to ask him.
I know, Maeve, you are quite comfortable using a medium to speak to your relatives that have passed on. And certainly your nearest and dearest, your grandmother.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
My grandfather. Yeah.
Brian, Margot.
That's nothing I've ever tried or explored.
Yeah.
Because it almost seems to me Maeve kind of came into it naturally. It's something that happened in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you didn't go looking
did
for
you
that.
Seek that out?
I was always open to that.
Yeah.
I was always open to that.
But you do use a medium. You're open to the experience. You notice that people are visiting you. Loved ones visit you, but you use a medium to
yes,
to talk
I can
to them.
Tell when someone is there. It has happened, but rarely can I hear them. That's normally when I got on the phone with Cass and I go, Cass, someone's here. Is there something I need to know? And they will come through or whatever the case might be. But I do know that my paternal grandfather especially is always with me.
Yeah.
Is with me a lot of the time. And when my friend Monica died, I have actually heard her voice two or three times. Very clearly, which was very, very startling to me to hear it myself. And it was separate from me. It wasn't just me thinking I could hear her talking in my head.
Yeah.
But no, I will very actively, I know, because I see a light. I'll see lights. If I can't get the gist of it, I will phone up Cass and go, someone's here, and she will be able to speak to them. I was raised with that. Now, there's no such thing as ghosts or this or that, but if you're relatives are coming to see you, that's perfectly normal. it's a strange thing. Now my mother is like, no, she says, no, my father was here today or whatever. No, I was raised not
I was not raised with disbelief on the whole.
That sounds like a very Acadian type view of that. We don't believe in ghosts, but Grandpa's sitting over there.
Well, we have no friend. We have no Acadian blood, but no. But my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, had a terrible psychic ability. If he dreamt that someone died, they died. He had forerunners of death. And so I kind of knew that. So it was not something that was this, oh, don't be stupid, in my family. And on my father's side, they're really Germanic, mm-hmm. practical people. But even they were like, no. They even were like, no, great uncle Rodney was here, kind of idea or whatever. So I was raised to be okay with that.
How about you, Brian? I know Atticus's grandfather visited him.
Yeah.
Is that something you would seek out through a medium?
I don't think I'd use a medium. I think we just let it naturally happen, which has kind of happened up to this point. Now that we've moved, I don't know if Grandpa's...
He'll come.
He'd probably attach to Atticus.
He'll be attached to Atticus. Kids see everything.
Yeah. So we'll see in time, I guess. I'm a little disappointed because I don't think our current house is haunted.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have that roommate that you can charge rent to.
Yes.
Because part of your house is really old.
Yeah.
The central part of your
1886.
House.
1886.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's pretty unhaunted so far. We got a lot of really nasty neighbors in the sense of raccoons and skunks and deers and bears and apparently a bobcat.
It could all, you never know, the Sambro cougar could show up sometime,
yeah, yeah.
too.
So, how old is she?
No, there has been talk of a cougar out Sambro way for a very long time, even though the province says there's no cougars.
Yeah.
But bringing her up yet again, my friend Monica was out hiking about, and she lived out near Sambro, and the thing walked across the path in front of her.
Yeah.
And there's always, must be a bobcat. She says, that was not a bobcat. It was five times the size of a bobcat and had a long tail.
Yeah.
She has seen the Sambro cougar.
I feel with our move, we've traded ancestors in for more nature spirits. But yeah. Only time will tell. Only time will tell.
That's excellent.
But I don't think personally I would seek out a medium because we've had lots of experiences au naturel.
Yeah.
So we just kind of allow that to keep flowing. Like Atticus has told us, Grampy's visited him and he told him about scuba diving and he told him about this and that. And these are things we didn't tell Atticus.
Yeah.
And that he knew about Grampy Murdoch, about like, Grampy Murdoch was a scuba diver, and he discovered shrimp. Atticus knew this. We never told him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will see as time goes on. Yeah. Now, Atticus is also entering that age where he starts to lose that. So we'll see what happens.
I went through that with mine. It's not so much lose it, it's they're all, kids are so open and this, and when, you know, Rain in her surroundings was always so open to all of this. But when she started talking to others and friends and this and that, and she started to be maybe mocked a little, or ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they don't want it. They shove it away when it happens.
Nope, that's fair.
So try to tell him, you know, maybe don't talk to all your buddies about it. That's a family, or when you're with, you know, the pagans, talk about it. And maybe he'll be able to keep it longer.
It's a funny thing you say that because the pagan kids all believe in fairies. They all believe in ghosts. They all believe in the ancient. Like, that's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Wait till they start talking about Bloody Mary and he comes home crying because he's been made to believe in the spirit world. Everybody thinks it's a grand joke to spook people out, and your kid won't sleep because she's terrified of Bloody Mary.
You've met my kid, right? You've seen what his stuffy is. That will be the highlight of his life. The Candyman's coming. No, it's not a good thing.
That creepy little
huggy wuggy.
Huggy wuggy. My God. That thing terrifies me.
Yeah, Siren Head, Huggy Wuggy, Kit, he's into all that shit.
What is that strange-looking little treasure chesty thing you have that creeps me out?
Yeah, the mimic. He's assumed that. He wants. So I just made him a door for his bedroom. He wants me to make the inside of the door a mimic. So I might end up having to paint a big face on it.
Well, I'm never going in there. Yeah. If you ask me to babysit, he'll be putting himself to bed. I'm not going in there.
Someday I'll have to take a photo of Huggy Wuggy and post it for people who don't know. But this is his favorite stuffy. And he's not allowed to bring it to school. And he's not allowed to bring it to certain friends' houses because those friends have been like, fucking creeps me out. But that's his stuffy. That's his thing. He's like that goth little kid you see in cartoons that drags along like the dead doll. It's Huggy Wuggy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for listening. And I hope you all have a blessed Samhain and that you commune with your ancestors in a wonderful way.
Welcome, dear listeners, to Three Witches and a Druid Podcast, Season 4.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We can hardly believe it, but it has been 4 magical years since we embarked on this enchanting journey with you all. We're filled with gratitude for your continuous support and positive energy. Your enthusiasm has fueled our mystical endeavors, and it has been a wonderful journey. Be sure to join us for more adventures with our Patreon, where you can directly support Three Witches and a Druid. Your contributions will help us to continue to create high-quality content, bring in fascinating guests, and explore even more magical topics. To our current Patreon supporters, we send out a heartfelt thank you. Your faith in our mission is truly appreciated, and today we shout out Sierra, Star, Gary, Sybil, Catherine, Nicole, Tomlin, Samantha, Chris, Eric, Karen, Highland Horde, Danny, Sarah, Kay, Linda, and Jennifer. And to those who are considering joining our Patreon family, we invite you to take that next step and become a part of our mystical circle. By subscribing to our Patreon, you'll gain access to exclusive bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes content, and a closer connection with us in our magical community. It's more than just support. It's a way to deepen your own spiritual journey and enhance your magical practice. So whether you've been with us from the very beginning, or you're just joining us in this magical realm, we welcome you to our Patreon and look forward to sharing more mystical experiences together. As we celebrate these 4 enchanting years and take this exciting next step into the future, we say thank you, dear listeners. Your presence has truly made this podcast a sacred space for learning, growing, and connecting with the universe. And we thank you for being a part of this enchanting community.
And until next time, everybody, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.